The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
It's good to see you this morning. Thank you so much again for being here. We're going to kind of, and I asked Kelsey, I said, I hate to do this because I feel like this is a series. It's not really meant to be a series, but we're going to continue kind of where we started last week. Last week, we talked about this idea of everyday Jesus. And this passage of scripture to me is a great passage because this passage gives us how to practically live every single day of our lives and have Jesus be a part of it. And what he does, what Jesus does in this passage is he takes, and it's almost like the book of Proverbs. If you've ever studied the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, every verse is almost this little life lesson that you're supposed to be able to take and live out every single day. And in this passage in Luke chapter 6, that's what Jesus does. He takes, and it's almost like every single verse, every single passage is this little nugget that he wants to give you and I so that we can live every single day in relationship and in walking with him in light of what he's done. And so we started that last week, and we talked about these different things, and then I want to pick back up and finish chapter 6 this week because it's really cool to me what Jesus does when he's part of our everyday life. He starts out in Luke chapter 6 in verse number 35, and he says this, "But love your enemies and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High. For he himself is kind to the ungrateful and evil people." The very first nugget of truth that Jesus gives us here is this. He tells us to love, to do good with no expectations. Now, I don't know how many of you are like me, but everything in my head goes back to movies or TV shows at some point in time in my life that I've lived. And I want to tell you guys about one of the most impactful men in my life as a child, George Feeney. Do y'all remember George Feeney from the show Boy Meets World? Oh man, every Friday night I'd watch Boy Meets World. Every Saturday morning when they moved it to Saturdays, I would watch Boy Meets World. I still watch Boy Meets World now. I love that show. And the very end of that show, Mr. Feeney has the class, which is like four people that are always there, and they're having their final episode. And in their final episode, Mr. Feeney looks out at his class and he says, I forget what he tells them. He tells them to try. He tells them to do hard things. And he says, and do good. And the really smart girl in the class goes, "Don't you mean do well?" And he goes, "No, I mean do good." And the words of Mr. Feeney ring true because they are actually the words of what Jesus tells us all so long ago. I make it a point anytime somebody asks me how I'm doing, I always try to answer, I'm doing good. I'm not doing well, maybe. Well is your circumstances. It's what's going on around me in my life. Well is the different things, whether it's a favorable outcome or all of a sudden my flight doesn't get delayed and I'm everywhere I'm supposed to be when I'm supposed to be there, or I've got plenty of food in my pantry. That's doing well. Doing good is not that. Doing good is what you are actively participating in to make the world a better place. Jesus says, listen, love and do good. They're two separate things. He tells you to lend, and he also tells you to do this with expecting nothing in return. See, a lot of times we do good to who? People who are going to be good back to us. I'll lend you money if I know what you're going to use it for, right? I'll do good and I'll lend and I'll be a loving person as long as I know you're going to give it back to me. But that's not what he says. He says, listen, you lend, you love, you do good to people simply because of who you are. You are sons and daughters of the Most High. And because of that, that is why you love. That is why you do good. Everything you do is based off of who you are. I have a phrase I try to remind my kids of over and over again when they're acting bad. This is not who you are. You're better than this. Not because they're kids. They're going to do bad things. But I want to encourage them and I want to tell them, hey, listen, you have another choice. You have another option. You don't have to behave this way. You can behave better. And he goes on, he says again, with no expectation. And then he also adds this part to it, which is just awful. To ungrateful and evil people. You have to be loving to people. You know what that term ungrateful means? They're not even going to appreciate when you're kind to them. When you love them, even though you don't really like them, they're not even going to appreciate it. You're not going to get one single solitary thank you from that person. But you're still supposed to love them. You're still supposed to do good, and you're still supposed to be kind to them. That's difficult to do, but if you're going to walk with Jesus every day, this is a great place to start. By practicing these things, it takes practice. He goes on in verse number 36 and 37. He says this, "Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven." The next thing Jesus tells us, the next little nugget of truth he gives is this, choose mercy. Now, choosing mercy is kind of difficult, isn't it? Because what mercy literally means is you don't give somebody what they do deserve. That's the phrase mercy means you do not give them what they deserve. Now, again, we've already talked about, and this is the umbrella that Jesus puts over everything, because the stuff that he's asking us to do is only going to make sense if it's under this umbrella of mercy. He says in the next couple of passages, he's going to tell us to do all kinds of things to people that are loving, that are kind, that are gracious, that are generous, that are completely the opposite of what those people are going to give us in return. And it's not going to make any sense if you think through it logically. Because our world, our culture has driven into our heads so deeply, I treat other people the way they treat me. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You hit me, I'm going to hit you harder. That's what everyone around you is telling you. And what Jesus says is, listen, the only way what we're going to go through and how every day this is going to make sense to you is if you put it under this umbrella of mercy where you don't give people what they give you. You give them better than what they give you. He goes on and he says this. He tells us that it's God's job to judge and condemn, and our job to forgive. Our calling is not to judge or condemn the actions of people who don't understand the standard that you and I are called to. Church, can I lovingly tell you something right now? We spend a lot of our times pointing fingers at people and telling them they're wrong when they don't have the same standard that we do. See, my life is called to be lived like this. My life is called to be lived in light of what Christ has done in my heart. If they don't have a relationship with God through Christ, they don't understand the standard. And so we're telling them they're wrong. We're judging them. We're condemning them. And we're pointing out all the things that they're doing wrong. They don't even have a clue what the standard says about their life. Our job is not to condemn or to judge. Go back and look what our job is. To forgive. Look, don't get me wrong. Sin's real. Sin's bad. Don't do sin. Okay? But if you are looking for me to tell you every sin in your life, you're looking to the wrong person. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you my opinion about your sin. You know what the Holy Spirit's going to do? The Holy Spirit's going to convict you of your sin. Guess what happens? When I leave, whenever God takes me home and leave my opinion and your opinion that you based on your sin about what I said, leaves too. But the conviction, that stays. I was getting ready this morning and I asked Kelsey, I said, "Kelsey, do I look too casual today?" She said, "No." I said, "Okay, good." Because I always worry about that, because in my home, the conviction was, you had to wear a button-up shirt, had to be tucked in. God forbid you wore flip-flops to church in Florida. I don't understand that. But you know what happened as soon as I moved to college? Guess what went out the window? Those convictions of how you're supposed to dress for church. I wore flip-flops to church every day I was in college. I wore flip-flops with a shirt and tie when I had to. Because those convictions were put on me by somebody else. And that's not what our job is. Our job as Christians is not to put convictions on other people who don't understand the standard. Our job is to be gracious and merciful and forgiving. He goes on in this passage in Luke chapter 6, and he says this in verse 38, "Give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will also be measured to you. Now, kind of a strange passage, but can I tell you what this just boils down to? Man, pack it in. Listen, put all the goodness, all the good stuff, all the kindness, all the loving, everything you can pack into your life, pack into your life. Because when you pack it in as much as you can and you fill it up to the brim, it starts to run over and it starts to run out of your life and it starts to become who you are. And all of a sudden you start to realize that this goodness, this kindness, this lovingness, it is just joyful. You ever had somebody who's just kind and loving all the time? At first it's annoying because it's like no way can anybody be that kind and loving. But then the more they do it, and the more you realize it's genuine and it's real, the more they're just a joy to be around. And he says, listen, pack it in, put it into your everyday life. But also remember what this comes on the heels of. This comes on the heels of Jesus telling us to give to people and not expect anything in return. So how does that work? How is it that the more this goodness, this kindness, this love, all these different things, joy, peace, actually, if you want to know, it's the fruit of the Spirit, joyfulness, lovingness, peacefulness, patience, kindness, goodness, self-controlled. If all that I put in my life over and over and over again, but other people don't give that back to me, then where does it come from that it comes back to me? That's the cool part. When Jesus makes this promise, he says it's not going to come from out there. It's going to come from up there. God's going to pour these things into your life. And all of a sudden, God, who is the source of kindness, the source of joy, the source of hope, the source of love, the source of everything good is God. And he is going to be the one who pours all these things back into your life. Now listen, as much as I like people and as much as I want you to be nice to me, at the end of the day, if you're mean to me, but he's nice to me, I win. Sorry for you. At the end of the day, if I'm mean to you and you're mean to me, it's what I deserve. But if I'm nice to you and you're mean to me and he's still nice to me, I still win. And that's the cool part about this is the more you pack in, the more you make this part of your everyday life, the blessing and the favor and all the different things that come do not come from outside people, but it comes from him. And that's cool because y'all are finicky. I'm finicky. And I know that, but he's not. He's steadfast. He's true. He is faithful. Even when I'm not, he is faithful. He picks up in verse number 39 and he tells a parable. He tells him this parable. It says, can a blind lead the blind? Will they both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone is fully trained. But everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye and then you will be able to see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's. Jesus tells us here the most important probably step in how to lead. You want to know how to be a good leader? Remember, you were blind once too. You look, it doesn't matter what arena of life you're in. It doesn't matter if you're trying to lead as a Christian, if you're trying to lead as a dad, if you're trying to lead as a husband, if you're trying to lead in your workplace. Remember, the easiest thing to do is remember you were there once too. We were sitting in bed with Nora the other night talking about curfews. She said, well, I have a curfew one day. I said, absolutely you will. And Kelsey said, well, what will a curfew be? I said, it'll be 9:45 sharp. And Kelsey said, remember when you were a kid, was your curfew 9:45? And I said, no, it was not. And that's why hers will be 9:45. No, I said, but listen, do you know how many of these problems can be solved in my life if I just take a moment when I'm angry, when I'm mad at my kids, when they're being disobedient, to remember I was a kid once too and I did things that I wasn't supposed to do? That time when somebody at work does something and you're like, you bonehead, how did you even get this job? Remember, you were a bonehead once too. And somebody had to teach you and somebody had to train you and somebody had to help you come to see things that you never saw. Listen, if you are the same Christian you were when you first got saved and your eyes have not been opened and you haven't grown any, and you're still making bonehead decisions, that's one thing. But the idea is this: as Jesus opens up your eyes and you begin to see things clearer, then all of a sudden you don't look at people and say, "Oh, you bonehead, why didn't you know what Jesus said?" You say, "Hey man, let me show you what Jesus said." The easiest and the best way to lead is to remember that all of us at one point in time, in some capacity, whatever capacity you want to figure out, we're blind. And somebody had to show us what to do and walk us through the steps of how to live. If you want to be a good leader, remember, you were blind once too. And when you and are leading other people, try and instruct them and help them with that. So what's the point of this parable? It's interesting, all the different things that the point could be. The point could be the size of the plank, right? Or the size of the wood. It's a speck in his eye, but it's a plank in my eye. That could be the point. It could be who notices the wood first, right? Listen, let me tell you about Pete. Let me tell you about Pete. Pete did this way before I was even thought of. Probably did. But isn't that what we do with our sin? We want to compare the size of our sin to the other person. Or we want to notice their sin before they notice our sin, right? Can I share with you, that's not the point at all. The point of this parable is not who notices it first. The point of this parable is not what size the sin is. The point of this parable is to help other people see clearly. He ends, he says, listen, so that. What that means is all this happens so that you can help somebody else see clear. Your purpose in life is not to point out other people's sin, to condemn their sin, to judge their sin. Your purpose in your life as a follower of Christ is to say, hey, listen, let me help you see things clearly. Let me help you see what I see in Scripture. Man, it's a great world when that's the case. Because then not only is that what happens, but that's one of the things, again, I love about our fellowship is the fact that we grow together. And as we grow, guess what? You're helping me take planks out of my eye. And as we grow together and as we go through God's word together, hopefully I'm helping you take planks out of your eye and sawdust out of your eye. And the idea and the goal for us is this, is that we're helping each other see things more clearly. That's the point of this parable. So that all of us can see things more clearly. He finishes up, I think, in the next verse by saying, or sorry, not in the next verse. He says this in verse number 43 and 44. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. I love this because Jesus points out the absolute insanity of insincere faith. Just read the passage real quick. Do you go to a thorn bush expecting to get apples? No. There's thorns there. Do you go to an apple tree and you're careful because there might be thorns? No. Because it's an apple tree. Now notice, this is interesting because there's a couple things to point out about this. Good can only produce bad, and bad can only produce bad. So wait, good can only produce good, and bad can only produce bad, right? Okay. So the type of tree determines the produce. So if you're a follower of Christ, you are already made into a good tree. Your tree is good. We're not even going to worry about the people who aren't followers of Christ yet. That's their thing. They've got to come to know Him. As a follower of Christ, your tree is good. Therefore, your produce is good. How many of you have ever met a follower of Christ who their fruit is not good? Can I tell you three things as to why their fruit isn't good? The first thing is, have you ever picked anything out of season? Like, it wasn't the right time for it. We have a pecan tree over here someplace, and my kids have just now found it. They don't understand that it's not pecan season. And so they go and they break open the pecans and they're like, here, let's eat this. I'm like, no, don't put that in your mouth. It's awful. There are times as followers of Christ where our season isn't right for the fruit that we're trying to produce. The second thing that happens a lot of times is this, is it's the shelf life of the fruit that makes it go bad. Sometimes as followers of Christ, we try to do things after the fact. See, one of the phrases that we're very familiar with here at our church is this, your next step of faith. Can I tell you that if you don't take your next step of faith when God calls you to take your next step of faith, eventually you're going to try to take your next step of faith and it's going to be too late? Because there's a season, and the shelf life for that calling of what your next step is only so long. And after that starts to expire, your fruit starts to become bad. The last thing that, if you look at fruit and what happens to it and why some fruit's not good, even though it comes from a good tree, is this. It gets damaged or it gets bruised. Listen, sometimes as followers of Christ, we hurt each other. Some of you have bruises from people in church who've done you wrong. My challenge, my encouragement for you is don't let your hurt ruin your fruit. The second thing is this, damages. If you come in here and you sing, oh, praise the name of our Lord, our God, oh, praise his name forever, but you go out there and you live in exact contrast to the words of that song, you're damaging your fruit. Because people don't see necessarily what you say in here. They see what you do out there. Be careful not to damage your fruit. He goes on. And he says this in verse number 45. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Church, can I let you in on a secret today? What's on the inside will always work itself out. Listen, you can try to repress it. You can try to doctor it up. You can try and dress it up. You can try and cover it up. You can try and do anything you want, but what's on the inside always works itself out. And you know when it works itself out? The most stressful, awful times in life. Usually, when we're pressed, the kind of person we are is revealed. That's what that passage says. Look, you can put on a good show for a little while, but what's in your heart will always come out. He finishes up in verses 46 through 49. He says this, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I'll show you what they are like. They are like a man who building a house who dug down deep and laid a foundation on rock. When the flood came and the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. The first question that Jesus asked, and I have to ask it today, is why. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say? You know all this. He's gone through over this chapter. He's gone through all these things of how your life is supposed to look as a follower of Christ. He's laid all this out for you. He's done everything he can to put it before you in simple terms that you can understand and that you can practice every single day. And he says, but hey, listen, I've given you all this. Why do you call me Lord if you're not going to put them into practice? what benefit do you get of calling yourself a Christian? I know we're in the South and everyone's a Christian. But what benefit do you really get? Because when I hear someone say they're a follower of Christ, do you know what happens in my mind? My expectations for that person go up. I hold them to a higher standard than I do anybody else. Because if you are claiming to be a follower of Christ, then all the things that he's just talked about, I expect to see in your life. This is not a name badge that all of a sudden gives you rights and privileges. This is a name badge that means suffering, difficulty, and a higher standard of expectation from you when no one treats you the same way in return. And so what Jesus says is, listen, why? Why do you do this? If you're not going to follow me, if this isn't real to you, if this isn't everyday life for you, why? To steal a line from Will Smith, keep my name out your mouth. Look, man, can I just be very honest and transparent with you for a moment? If you're a follower of Christ and you have no intentions, no expectations, no desire to actually walk with him every day, find a different term for yourself. Say you're a seeker. Say you're spiritual. Don't put Christ's name on your life. And that's not because I don't love you, not because I don't want you to have a relationship with him, but I know that people are watching you and I as followers of Christ, expecting to see him. And when we don't do that, it destroys the work of other people who have given their life for that cause. That's something to me that I take very dear and serious. He goes on and he finishes with that story of the two builders. It's one of my favorite stories in all of Scripture. And I know that's kind of crazy to say because I've got a bunch of them. But with that one story, he shows us the outcomes of everyday Jesus. The outcomes for one man are this. If every day you dig in, you do what you're supposed to do, you do what you know you need to do every single day, then what you're doing is you're building a foundation of faith and trust in God. Not built on hardships or difficulties, but built on everyday life. When you learn to trust God everyday life, you build a foundation of faith and trust in him, built on the norm. But you know what happens when the storms come in? Your foundation is solid. But if you only build your life on God on Sundays, some Wednesdays, when bad things happen, at Easter, at Christmas, at family holidays, when they expect me to say things about God, and so I become the Christian. If your faith and your trust is only built on those moments and not on everyday life, your foundation is weak. And when those storms, those shake you to your core storms that come at all of us in life hit, you won't have a foundation to stand on. Life will hit you harder than you could ever imagine. And you'll find yourself sitting on the floor crying, God, where did I go wrong? Every day. You mean tomorrow? Yeah. Tuesday? Yeah. What about Thursday? Thursday's not good for me. No, every day. Every day, you've got to build your life on the principles, on what Jesus teaches us to do. Then, your life can withstand storms. Look, maybe right now you're going through a storm. Maybe right now you're being shook to your absolute core and you're like, God, I don't get it. I don't understand it. What happened? I'm going to ask you to go back and look at your foundation. Was your foundation built on everyday consistency with Christ? Or was it built on momentary highs and lows? Every day creates a firm foundation that can withstand anything that life throws at you. God, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you that your desire is to have a relationship with us, not just today, but every day. God, I thank you for scriptures that teach us what it looks like to live a life of everyday faith. Lord, I pray for the one that's here today who, God, maybe they've not been living consistently. God, their walk with you, their walk of faith isn't about their next step. It's the next moment when things get bad. It's the next time they need you. It's the next holiday. God, I pray today that during this song of worship and response, God, wherever they are, they would make a commitment to you that every day they're going to walk with your son, Jesus. They're going to take the difficult steps of faith in their life. God, they're going to love. They're going to be gracious. They're going to be generous, not because of other people, because of who you are and how you've changed their hearts and life. God, I pray that we will leave this place walking every day. That walk of this fellowship every day will wreck this world and draw people to you. God, we love you. We thank you for what you've done in our life. We thank you for what you want to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.